This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Up to 2 million Americans suffer from inflammatory bowel disease, also known as IBD. And although people of all ages are diagnosed with IBD, it's recently become one of the most significant chronic diseases affecting children and adolescents. We'll hear with more on this challenging problem is Dr. Pratik Wali, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics and the Interim Division Chief of Gastroenterology and Nutrition at Upstate Medical University. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Linda.
So let's begin for our listeners by defining inflammatory bowel disease syndrome. What exactly is it?
Well, inflammatory bowel disease is actually not a syndrome. It is a true disease. It comprises ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. Both of these diseases are autoimmune, which means that your immune system attacks your intestines. And once it turns on, it doesn't turn off.
What's the difference between these two parts of IBD, the Crohn's disease? Help us understand the difference between Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. How are they different? How are they the same?
Well, ulcerative colitis is mainly affects the colon. Crohn's disease can affect anywhere in the GI tract. That's the big difference between the two. Kids with ulcerative colitis usually present with rectal bleeding, belly pain, weight loss. Kids with Crohn's disease usually present with weight loss and belly pain. Some kids in either can have mouth sores, swollen joints, and it really affects their life.
And when you talk about it's an autoimmune disease and you say your own immune system turns against your own body, do we have any idea what causes these kinds of things to develop?
We aren't exactly sure. But we know it's an interaction between the environment, your genetics, and your immune system. There's over 100 genes so far that have been linked, however, not one particular gene.
Does it seem to run in families?
It does. It does. You do have a higher chance, but that doesn't mean that the children will have inflammatory bowel disease necessarily.
So tell me what the symptoms look like. You made some allusion. Are they similar in ulcerative colitis to Crohn's, or are they different? I mean, what kinds of things?
They do have similar symptoms. Usually the weight loss and malnutrition is greater in Crohn's disease. And in ulcerative colitis, usually rectal bleeding is more of a symptom.
Now, we were talking about that it's a growing problem in children and adolescents. Are there any hypotheses as to why it seems to be happening?
No, we don't know why it's increasing, but there's clear increase, especially in Crohn's disease around the world. The incidence of Crohn's disease is increasing, and the growth mainly is under the age of 12, which is worrisome.
Wow, so it's increasing largely in children.
Yes.
What percentage would you say, and I know I'm asking you this off the fly, but what percentage of people with IBD are children or adolescents versus the general?
Sure. That's 20% of inflammatory bowel disease presents in childhood. And in childhood, the disease is usually more aggressive.
So what is that the main difference between the two when you say, I mean, how does it present itself that's different in childhood as opposed to in an adult?
Well, there's two very big differences between children and adults.
They're not just small adults.
That's right. The two big differences are growth and bone health. Children with IBD often have very poor growth. Almost 85% present with poor growth. Because of that, we tend to treat more aggressively to restore health, restore their growth. They also have a pediatric endocrinologist that helps them with their bone. And we have a pediatric nutritionist that helps with the diet.
So the bottom line is, it's not so much that the disease is different in children or adults. It's the ramifications of the disease in a growing entity as opposed to someone who's already achieved their full height, their full, you know, developmental stature.
It's both. I think you have it right. It's more aggressive in childhood, and there's greater ramifications.
Well, I want to get to more about the ramifications in a couple minutes, but obviously, if your child is having these kinds of symptoms and you get diagnosed, well, first of all, let me go back to that. How are these diagnosed? How is the distinction made that this is not just stomach aches kind of thing and that someone has either Crohn's or ulcerative colitis in childhood?
Sometimes there's signs on blood work. I think once they see our office or our pediatric gastroenterologist, often if we're suspicious, we do what's called an upper and lower endoscopy, otherwise known as a colonoscopy. That's done here at Upstate in the pediatric operating room. And that's really where you get the diagnosis of the two diseases.
And how is that, through samples of tissue, or do they just by visualizing what's going on inside of the colon or the intestines?
Both. We visualize during the actual procedure, and also we take samples that are like the tip of a pen. And those under a microscope give us an idea of which disease process we're dealing with.
So when you're if you're diagnosed with this disease, obviously when you talk about growth and bone difficulties, as you mentioned earlier, it's largely because nutrition has to be compromised, I would think. If your intestines and your colon are compromised, you're not absorbing perhaps? I mean,
It's multifactorial. One, you have some difficulty in malabsorption. Two, you have difficulty where you're not taking enough calories because you don't feel well. And the third thing is there's newer studies coming out that your body makes what are called cytokines, which are inflammatory markers that affect your growth directly and also affect the way you feel.
So it has it's multifactorial. That's in right. Terms of how it affects your development. So what do you do for it medication-wise?
Well, there's a variety of medications, and they're changing every year.
Are there effective medications, I guess?
Absolutely. More and more effective every year. We start with some of the basics, like 5-ASAs.
And what are those?
They're an aspirin derivative, and they're topical. You take them by mouth, but they open up in the intestine. In the past, steroids were very popular. However, we try to limit steroids because they affect growth. Some of the other drugs are immunomodulators, and the new drugs are called biologics. That would be infliximab and adalimumab, both which have been shown to be very effective in especially Crohn's disease.
And what exactly do they do?
They bind some of these inflammatory cytokines that we were talking about.
And so they minimize the symptoms, or do they actually help with the entire underlying process?
They minimize the symptoms, but they also affect the actual disease process. So they take away the swelling.
If you're just listening to us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with pediatric gastroenterologist Dr. Pratik Wali. And we're talking about inflammatory bowel disease in children. So do things like probiotics or any kind of nutritional therapy help as well? In other words, if you change your diet or if you remove stress from a child, do those play a role?
That's a complicated question. Stress does not play a role in this disease process, but stress definitely makes treating it very difficult. Stress usually has been linked to irritable bowel syndrome, which sometimes gets mixed up with inflammatory bowel disease.
And that's often, in terms of acronyms, that's called IBS.
That's right.
And this is IBD, and you could understand why someone might make that mistake.
Exactly.
But the point is that stress is not the crucial factor here, but can dietary changes or the use of probiotics make a difference?
Actually, it's interesting. Something we do differently at Upstate than other places around the country is offer what's called enteral therapy, which means that you can go on a formula for 90% of your calories, and it also works to put the disease in remission. It's something that's done commonly around the world, but not commonly in the U.S.,
That's unfortunate. So, but it's nice to know that that's happening here in our region. Tell us about surgery. I know that for some of these diseases, surgery is the preferred or a preferred treatment. Which of those, Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, when would you recommend surgery?
Well, years ago, surgery was up to 80% of children that had either Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. Now, with improving medications, we're looking at less than 20%, and really less than 10% with the new biologics. In general, surgery is more of an option with ulcerative colitis because it is curative to take out the colon. In Crohn's disease, we try to avoid surgery. We try to maximize medications and minimize the number of exacerbations we have.
Do you find the children, once they start on these kinds of medications and or have surgical intervention, do they require, well, let's go back to the medication, do they require these medications lifelong, or do they eventually grow out of this problem?
This is a chronic disease process. Therefore, you don't grow out of it. You do require some type of medications for maintenance to
throughout
keep yourself
your life.
Yes, in remission. Now, it's hard to say lifetime because there's new drugs coming out every year. So in 5 years, this might be a different landscape.
That's very interesting. So are you thinking that some of these new drugs can actually cure these kinds of autoimmune problems?
We definitely hope that there will be a cure in the future, but the newer drugs at least are getting closer and closer to targeting the molecules that are really involved.
So you were alluded, I'm particularly interested to something you said earlier when it comes to children and how it's different and how it can affect development. Tell me a little bit more about some of the things you've seen in terms of how the development of children's development is affected.
Well, there's growth, definitely. Like I said, they're both linear growth and weight are affected.
So are they generally smaller and leaner?
Yes, definitely.
So they don't necessarily suffer from the same problems that a diabetic child might in terms of childhood obesity.
That's right.
So they're generally leaner and smaller.
They're leaner, they're smaller, and it takes a little while after being on therapy for them to grow. Therefore, a pediatric nutritionist is a must.
So what are some of the psychosocial issues that are surrounding these patients? In other words, how does it affect their relationship to others, their success in school, all those kinds of things?
Well, we try to really focus in on how their quality of life is. And a lot of these children have depression and anxiety, dealing with a chronic disease at an early age. So we try to get our psychology colleagues involved. And also we offer something different at Upstate, which is pediatric hypnosis, which helps to use imagery and biofeedback to help relax them. It might not actually treat the problem, but it treats the psychosocial issues that come with this.
So the bottom line is that, let me ask you this. Do they have things like diarrhea as a secondary issue or difficulty, urgency and things that might embarrass them, put them in a really socially embarrassing situation as part of this?
Absolutely. And really, that's more important to a lot of these children than anything else. And so we have to try to minimize the diarrhea, the embarrassment, the urgency as much as we do everything else.
So bottom line, what are you doing here? You're alluding to, in various ways, what you do at your Upstate clinic. What types of things are you doing that are different, as you mentioned? Can you summarize those?
Well, we have started a pediatric IBD center of excellence, which means we have 4 pediatric gastroenterologists, and we're going to have 5 soon. We have 4 GI nurses, and we'll have 5 soon. We have our own pediatric nutritionist. We have 2 pediatric radiologists, one of them who specializes in MRI, especially for inflammatory bowel disease. Dr. Rivera and I are both trained in small intestine capsule, which is pretty interesting.
Which means?
It's a camera that you swallow that takes 50,000 pictures as it goes down, and then it comes together as a video of your intestine.
It's a way of diagnosing and keeping track of how the intestine is doing.
Yeah, especially in the tough cases where the disease is in places where we don't have the ability to get to with scope.
So it sounds like you're really, it's a multidisciplinary team, and you have quite a wide variety of resources here.
We do, and you have to deal with this with the multidisciplinary team because there's a lot of issues with children with inflammatory bowel disease, and we want to get them as healthy as possible.
And is there support also for the parents? In other words, education and support?
There are a couple of good resources that we'd like to refer to. There's gastrokids.org and the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, ccfa.org. Both of them have excellent information on both the medications and some of the deeper definitions of the 2 disease processes.
We'll make sure to put a link to those on our website. And you're going to have some annual conferences?
We are. We're trying to help with education and teaching for parents so that they feel more comfortable. So we're going to have an annual teaching night where we bring in some speakers and we talk about some of the topics that are involved and some of the newer therapies that are here.
Well, it all sounds wonderful. I want to thank you so much, especially with this growing problem. It's wonderful to see that you've kind of stepped up and put together this very, very important team. My guest has been Dr. Pratik Wali. He's Assistant Professor of Pediatrics and the Interim Division Chief of Gastroenterology and Nutrition at Upstate Medical University. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Lynn.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.